Slaves to Darkness, written by John French, narrated by Jonathan Keeble. Dedicated to the memory of Alan Bly, 1974 to 2017. Cover your heads and mock not flesh and blood with solemn reverence. Throw away respect, tradition, form, and ceremonious duty, for you have but mistook me all this while. I live with bread like you, feel want, taste grief, need friends. Subjected thus, how can you say to me, I am a king? Attributed to the dramaturg Shakespeare, FLM2. Call for all your chattels. Call forth the might of your land arrayed in fine steel. Set them to parade before us so that they may still pass, and the sun not set. Raise your hand and hear their acclamation, so loud that it might wake Yodan and Karis from their red slumber. Watch the sun glint off sword and spear. Look into eyes that see nothing but glory in the clamour of arms and wish to hear no greater music. Have this done, and set it before me, and I will say that I see only the grin of skulls and hear the cry of wind through bones. From the crone's reply to the queen in the mystery cycles of Colchis. And this too shall pass. Saying of Ancient Terror. Prologue. The Eve of Triumph. The cloaked figure walked across the plain that had been a mountain. The light of temporary camps the size of cities stained the night sky. The engine fires of warships shone brighter than the stars in the dark, and the passage of mass lifters and macro shuttles scratched orange wounds across the horizon. Here, on the half-a-kilometre-wide parade avenue, nothing moved except the flames of the torch pillars rippling in the wind. The figure paused and turned in place, looking behind him. He could see into the far distance, the darkness dissolving before his gaze. Gunships and dropships sat in neat squares that were camps for the most honoured of the assembling forces. Lights moved amongst the earthbound warbirds. A peal of distant laughter reached his ears as the wind changed direction. For a second he fancied he could hear the dry joke that had prompted the sound, and in his mind's eye he saw a warrior slapping another on the back. Across the plateau, brothers of different blood but born to a single purpose would be sharing similar moments of comradeship. He listened for a moment.
I was there, said a voice from a cluster of armoured figures gathered around a cage of red coals.
None of them saw the listener, standing at the edge of the flamelight. The cloaked figure recognised the voice and the story. A smile briefly touched his face beneath his cowl.
I was there the day Horus slew.
The wind gusted, snatching the words away and sending sparks billowing from the glowing coals. The figure turned away and carried on walking down the empty parade. Tomorrow, millions of feet would march where he walked, but for now it was his and his alone that trod the road. The imperial dais loomed in the middle distance, a marble mountain set in place of those it had replaced. 10,000 artisans had laboured without sleep to coat it in the symbols of victory and power. Statues of men and women, clutching thunderbolts of bronze, eagles with gilded wings spread, the names of the millions who had fallen in mankind's 2 centuries of war to reclaim the stars. From its tiers and balconies, the high and honoured would watch the might of the great crusade pass. But for now it was empty and silent, its majesty cloaked in the brief night. The figure set his eyes on the dais's silhouette and walked on. No one stopped him, though he knew that eyes, both human and transhuman, watched the ground he covered. None of them saw anything, save maybe a flicker in the dark or a spill of dust carried by the breeze. He heard the arming of weapons as he stepped into the shadow of the dais. The subtle hum of exquisitely crafted armor murmured at the edge of hearing. He stopped and turned his gaze to the pools of deeper dark amongst the statuary. 5 custodians stood amidst the gloom, invisible to the mortal eye. Like him, they were swathed in falsehoods, their shape and substance folded out of noticing. They knew something was there, but they did not know where or what he was. Such was the limit of even ascended humanity. Carefully, he touched his left thumb to the ring on his forefinger. Circuitry in the circle of iron pulsed a signal into the dark. The custodians hesitated, then began to shift out of aggressive posture.
"Why comes the stranger to the door at night?" said a voice from a dark niche in the base of the vast dais. "Why?" "Because he is no stranger," said the voice again, as the cloaked figure turned.
An old man stepped into sight, a staff clutched in both hands as though to help him walk. Malkador, sigilite of the Imperium and aide to the Emperor of Mankind, looked directly at the hidden figure and raised an eyebrow.
"Wishing for solitude, Horus Lupercal?"
"Something like that," said Horus, as he dropped the falsehood from his head.
"Would you believe that so was I?"
asked Malkador. "No," said Horus, and smiled. "I wouldn't."
"Neither would I."
The old man gave a dry chuckle.
"May I share in yours, though?"
Horus nodded.
"Come,"
said Malkador, gesturing towards an open door in the base of the dais. A flight of wide stairs rose beyond the threshold. The pair passed through and began to climb.
"He told you?"
said Malkador after a while. Horus nodded.
"Yes."
"You are surprised?"
"I am uncertain."
"A disturbing feeling for you, I'm sure," said Malkador. "He thought that you would be."
Horus glanced at the old man walking beside him.
"And yet he still wishes me to do this."
"Of course," said Malkador. "Do you not do the same when you place trust in your commanders? In Abaddon? In the Twisted?"
"I do wish they had not gifted him with that name," said Horus.
Malkador gave a small snort of laughter.
"A little crass, perhaps. But if the glove fits..."
"From you, that must be a compliment."
"Indeed,"
said Malkador, and smiled. They lapsed back into silence and continued to climb. At last the procession of stairs led into a wide corridor. A door opened to the night at the far end. Banners hung from the walls, each of them woven with symbols in metallic thread on silk. A red lightning bolt, a ring of red teeth, a wolf's head set against a sickle moon. Horus paused for a second to look at the wolf head banner, and then the Primarch and the voice of the Emperor of Mankind stepped through the door and onto a broad balcony. The night air fell away to the plain beyond. The lights of the Legion camps and the distant glow of the Mechanicum construction conurbations lay before them, embers scattered on sable. The wind gusted, dragging at Horus's cloak as he leaned on the balustrade.
"Can I refuse?" he asked at last.
"Of course," said Malkador.
Horus looked down at the parade avenue, now far below them.
"And if I accept?"
"Then things will change."
"The others?"
"Will grow to accept it too."
Malkador looked up from the view and gave a smile.
"As will you."
Horus looked at him sharply. The sigilite held the Primarch's gaze. Horus looked away after a moment.
"Perhaps."
Malkador raised an eyebrow but remained silent.
It will change everything, said Horus at last.
Everything changes.
And nothing changes, said Horus, his shadowed face forming a brief smile.
Oh, I think that part does not apply to this. Do you?
The wind gusted, and the banner poles set beneath the balustrade rattled in their fixings.
You wonder how it will affect you?
It was Horus's turn to raise an eyebrow.
I do not mean that you doubt yourself, my friend. Just that you wonder what the world will be after this. And yes, it will change you. How could it not? But you will rise, Horus. The Emperor did not make this decision lightly. He knows that you will become what you always promised to be.
Malkador paused and shifted his weight on his staff.
The others, yes, some will resent it, some will even resist, but ultimately all will accept it.
I was wondering what I would do if this duty had been given to another, to Rabuti or Rogel.
And? Asked Malkador. What would you have done?
I would have wondered why it had not been given to me, said Horus, then laughed, the sound bright against the breath of the wind. Then I would accept it and do everything I could to help them bear such a burden.
Quite so, said Malkador. And many of your brothers will do just that. Listen to them, Horus. You will need their help, just as the Emperor needs yours.
Does he? Said Horus lightly. I have never known anything to be beyond his grasp.
But you are his reach and his grasp, Horus. He accomplishes what he does through those who serve and love him. Through you.
Yet he did not say that when he told me of this duty.
No, he left it to me.
Working through his instruments.
Exactly.
Horus nodded, though his expression remained unchanged. Malkador straightened and turned away from the balustrade.
You know the truth of what I am about to say, but I will say it anyway. Take the lesson of the Emperor to heart. Every blade and warrior in the Crusade will answer to you. Learn their nature, as if for the first time. Use them as you must, and do not fear that they will see you change. You are going to be their leader, but you will need them to make you War Master.
War Master? So you think I will accept it?
I think you already have.
Malkador began to walk away, his staff tapping out the slow rhythm of his steps. In the dark, a pair of custodians who had remained like statues unfolded with a melody of armor servos and fell in beside the sigillite.
Good night, Horus Lupercal. Until tomorrow.
Horus remained, looking out at the view of the Plain of Triumph. The lights of stars and campfires found reflections in his eyes. Then he straightened and walked away, with only a single glance behind him.